Media Trendlines presents an episode of The Disruptors.
Welcome to Accounting Disruptor Conversations. I'm your host, Liz Farr from CPA Trendlines. My guest today is Hitendra Patil, Head of Customer Success at Accountants World by Iris, and author of two books at CPA Trendlines. Welcome to the show, Hitendra. How are you today?
Thank you for having me here, Liz. I'm doing great and looking forward to a very great discussion with you today.
Thank you so much. All right, well, let's jump in. Now, accounting talent in the U.S. has been really scarce for years, and COVID made it worse. What are your ideas on how to make things better, and what have you seen firms do successfully?
You know, interestingly, Liz, when the pandemic started, you know, somewhere in March of 2020, everything looked so uncertain out there, including the whole profession, how things are going to go, what's going to happen. The government was coming up or planning to come up with those PPP loans and whatnot. And we were getting really, really worried about accountants because we've been working only with accountants. So their business possibly suffering from the pandemic was always a big concern, and it was all hazy picture. But we actually saw that accountants became more busy, especially with the government help, and there were obviously processes around it, and they wanted to get their clients out of the woods and make sure they survive. So accountants became actually more busy in the initial few months. I believe that actually created a better bond between the accountants and their clients, and the typical thing that accountants like to talk about, that they're the most trusted advisors. In that first 4 or 5 months period, that was truer than ever before, accountants being the most trusted advisors. So that was good. The tax season, tax deadlines were postponed a bit, so they were busier for longer period. And we did find after that, really, you know, things coming to a different, perspective altogether with this work from home picking up as the trend, people moving out of bigger cities, going towards lower cost, towns and cities. And fortunately, the pandemic also forced quite a few firms from desktop to cloud. There was no other way to operate. So that was the silver lining of the cloud that actually made the current work world very much possible in the accounting profession. So it's more like a distributed thing. Many firms did go from being in the office to virtually on the cloud, work from anywhere. And with the reluctance of staff to come back to offices to some extent, that made it possible actually for the firms to develop those business models to work virtually across different geographical locations even. So the accountants did adjust to this scenario pretty fast from what we would have expected right at the beginning of the pandemic. So from that angle, it's all good. Cloud definitely is. The more I spoke with different people in the industry, more or less I got this pretty different and pretty unique, but a common perspective that maybe the profession graduated to cloud 3 years faster, which means what would have taken X number of the firms to go onto the cloud, well, maybe 3 years, that happened within months. So from that angle, it was really, really good. From the staffing point of view, there has been more flexibility in the way the firms try to manage their practices. Whether forced or adapted, or by welcoming those kinds of changes, accountants did make that shift. And I've always seen accountants adapt to situations much quicker than possibly other professionals. So from all of that, I don't see much of a problem really. But distributed working or virtual working is something that is here to stay. And firms need to adapt. I still see some firms trying to say, okay, let's come back to offices and things like that. That's going to be a long journey, I guess.
It's going to be tough. And I like what you said about firms moving to the cloud in just 3 months. Mm-hmm. So I remember reading a McKinsey research article mm-hmm. some time ago that said that that was the case across all companies, that everybody moved to the cloud. In times that they thought were, something like 20% of the time that they anticipated earlier, that they thought it would take 5 years, they did it in 1 year or less. Mm-hmm. So I think that's all good. And I do agree that remote work is here to stay. I've been working at home for years and I can't imagine ever going back to an office.
Yeah. And, for accounting firms, typically that kind of grow a little regionally, even nationally, but not the big firms, but kind of mid-size, even the smaller firms, they have clients in 20 states, 25 states. For them, this has become actually a positive thing, because if you have staff in different time zones, you're able to service those clients a little better. So that's like almost a good side effect,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can really play the time zones.
Yeah,
it really works. Now, until recently, the business model for accounting firms really hadn't changed. They're still billing by the hour. They were still using these pyramidal organizational structures with just a few at the top and a whole lot down at the bottom. But we're beginning to see a few changes. What kind of changes are you seeing?
Good question, Liz. I do see that the movement of pricing by the hour changing, but it's a little deeper than that. From a client perspective or the accounting firm's customer's perspective, bringing in a price predictability or consistency is a good thing. That's where we see the packaging happening, fixed fees happening, three different levels of services coming in, depending upon how much work a firm does for their clients. So for clients, it's great. You sign up a contract, you know exactly how much you're going to pay. At the end of the month, there is no surprise. There is no real questioning. Why did it take so much time? It's not just time. It's the expertise also. It's the experience also, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it poses a challenge in terms of how do you predict your profitability in a reasonable way, which means your costs may be still calculated based on the hours that you put in. Mm-hmm. So you still might have some timesheets in the office. Or if your model is matured enough, so you kind of know, we're almost there, our formula is working, we don't really need to maintain timesheets, but we will take a look at how profitable we are every period. Maybe it's a monthly thing. And if we see deviations, then we go back and look into, are we doing something that's increasing our cost? So that shift towards predictable billing, coupled with the measurements based on time, was definitely there and it still is there. If some firm is predominantly hourly charges basis and they want to graduate towards this, for some time they will still have to maintain how much time are they taking to produce the work. But again, time is not necessarily a great measurement of the work value, because you hire, let's say, a new staff and you're training that person for 6 months. And during those 6 months, that person is taking double the time to produce the same work or the same quality of work. You're not supposed to be, really billing that to the client, right? So those kinds of things. But this is maturing pretty fast. Fixed fee has come across as the topmost thing. Growing, is it expanding? Is it shrinking? Is it really going into, more inventory, for example? Is it going to cause you more work, for example? So you can only see that in 3 to 6 months time as a firm. So that's where the initial period flexibility in pricing, even if you pitch fixed fee pricing, that seems to be the trend that's happening. And one key thing that has happened because of all of this, and also because technology has moved really, really fast in the last few years, is there are plenty of efficiency gaining technologies now. So the work that you would have done by hand or would have taken you more time or was complex is now being done by integrated technologies, not necessarily from the same software company, multiple softwares across the cloud from different companies are able to integrate with each other, so which means data once created can be reused in different solutions. All of those things are, you know, really helping drive the efficiencies and provide more time to accountants to really apply their minds. Now that's the key. Accountants are professionally educated differently than their clients. And they're the experts. Accountants are the experts to apply those minds. The more time they get to apply that knowledge into client situations, the better it is in terms of delivering the value. So from that angle, the business model does seem to be changing. Accountants seem to be upgrading towards more value-driven, value-delivering, advisory kind of services. So that's definitely changing. I do see even smaller firms asking, how do I provide advisory? What should I do? You know, earlier you would possibly, you know, get those questions from little bigger size firms. You know?
Yeah, you know, I'm very happy to see people moving away from just charging by the hour. And even when I worked in public accounting, they didn't really actually always charge by the time. The bills that the clients got were not always completely correlated to the time. Sometimes there would be big write-ups, sometimes big write-downs, because that was what the partner or the manager felt the work was really worth to the client. And over an audit, it really didn't make any sense to track time because these projects are going out on a flat fee basis. So why do we need to track time in the first place? It just didn't make any sense to me.
Right. That is true. And again, it all, you know, boils down to the profitability of the firm. And if the overall profitability has been good enough, then it becomes a reason not to change, you know. Only when it starts hurting, you say, oh my God, we got to do something different, you know.
Yeah. And until now, you know, and really continuing, accountants are really still making a good living billing by the hour and using their old billing practices. It still is working. It's still a very lucrative profession for many.
Yeah, I do believe it's one of the top 20 or top 30 most profitable professions in the country even today, which also means the incentive to change comes from within, not from external triggers, you know.
Yes. Yes. Now, what about growth? Are there different strategies for growth for a one-person practice versus a multi-partner practice?
It depends on, you know, what you've chosen to be your focus in terms of niches or the services that you offer. For example, a big, large firm, audit heavy, would have different motivations and practices for growth versus smaller firms. But the smaller the firm, the lesser the resource that you have in terms of time as well. And that's where your limit comes into, you know, where you're growing. So obviously you want to grow into more profitable niches. So even if you do the same amount of work, for example, if you're making a little more in terms of profit percentage, that's where you should look at. So that's just a, you know, basic fundamental thing to look at. But as you try to grow, technology becomes a huge component of your growth enabling policy or practice. Without that, it's very, very hard. You can't do things manually and expect to be profitable and expect to be growing, because again, you're going to spend a lot of time processing the work, and then you don't have time to apply mind onto the businesses of your clients. So I personally see more and more firms going into niches, for example, construction, physicians, hospitality, and things like that. And that's logical and natural as well, because the more you work for, let's say, construction types of companies, the more they talk in their network. They talk, hey, I have this problem and I don't know what to do. They say, oh, my accountant is great on that. I never had that problem. Who is your accountant? So you get those referrals in those niches slowly and surely. So So even if you take all sorts of clients, but if you find that you're more working more towards, you know, some industries that are coming to you, it's natural. You're doing something good out there that's kind of spreading around even without you knowing about it. So that's another thing that you definitely want to see. Client accounting services has become a rage now in terms of popularity and people wanting to do it, because now suddenly many firms recognize that the time-consuming work of processing transactions is now a move towards technology more and more every passing day. So that becomes an easier thing to do. It's not expensive to implement those technologies at all. Your profitability actually increases the more you implement those automation and integrated technologies. So it actually becomes a level playing field. Plus, the bigger thing is the clients, the businesses, especially after the pandemic, now it's 2 years almost, and they have to focus on their business. They cannot do too much of admin and accounting work. Plus, they also know now that, look, technologies are there. Even if my accountant keeps everything, I can just log in and see every time. I can get notifications. So they know they don't have to keep accounting in-house. The more they recognize that, the more they want accountants to do that work. So that's definitely going to happen even next 2 years. Now, pandemic has really taken dip in terms of the business survival guide and the chances. Every business person has to focus on his or her craft and let accountants do their work. So that's another thing that's really driving business towards accountants, I would say.
I remember when I was at QuickBooks Connect in 2019, this would have been fall just before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I heard that only 3 out of every 10 small businesses is connected to an accountant. Mm-hmm. So that tells me that there's a huge need and so much need for accountants to reach out and work with these small businesses who really, they should be focusing on their business and not trying to keep the books.
That's right. Yeah, so let's say the numbers. Let's say there are 12 million, 15 million. I don't know what that real number is. Small businesses. Now the word small itself will have small, medium, large, I don't know. Even then they'll be called small. So for a business to be able to afford an accountant's professional input in their businesses, I think that's where the challenge comes in. And if it's a really, really small business, an accountant charging X number of dollars, and if that fee goes beyond certain percentage of the total revenue, then the business starts thinking, oh my God, I'm not making so much profit, so how do I afford this? But then that's where technology comes into picture. A lot of automation, a lot of the work that needs to be done. For example, 10 years ago, I remember if anybody wanted to do books from, let's say, bills, invoices, and all the paper, it would definitely take time for entry. Now that all of that information can, get exchanged between softwares. So which means the time and money that a small business is saving because of technology, from that they can definitely afford some of the advisory or some of the oversight that an accountant can provide on the books as well as on the business. So that's definitely going to change going forward, the business market for accountants for sure, and just in terms of sheer numbers of clients that they can service within the same resources. We have this classic example at our company, and especially in the payroll side. Some 3 years ago, somebody comes to us and with 2 full-time payroll staff members processing, let's say 98 to be precise, payroll clients. The same 2 staff members now process 400 plus payroll clients. That's a lot of efficiency gains. And that's because the softwares are becoming more powerful, more intelligent, more intuitive to work with. And all of that is available for you to really go and leverage out there. All that you need to do is try that out. In fact, I remember one of our clients from, I think, South Carolina or North Carolina, one of those. So he has an experimental capital, meaning out of the total revenue that the firm earns, he puts 1% aside just to experiment with software every year.
Good for that person. Yeah, that's really what you got to do. There is so much out there that you've got to just try it.
Right.
And there are so many different possibilities. You know, it used to just be QuickBooks or nothing, QuickBooks Desktop or almost nothing. And now, you know, we've got Accountants World, we've got Xero, we've got, you know, everybody is trying to be a bookkeeping service. Even the banks are getting in on us. So yeah, there's so many things. Mm-hmm. Now, it used to be that to be good in accounting, you had to be really good with the 10 key,
mm-hmm.
or you had to keep the IRS code in your head.
Mm-hmm.
But that's changed today because all of that is in our computers, at our fingertips.
Right.
So what skills do accountants need to be successful in the future?
You know, you make an interesting point, Liz. You know, I've been saying this for quite some time now, the more the softwares evolve in the profession, the more the knowledge goes inside those lines of code that the software has. Tax calculation, very complex tax calculations can happen pretty easily. But obviously those mm-hmm. are all related to several applicable tax laws that an accountant would kind of, you know, have years of study about, keep updating himself or herself, and then kind of connect the dots. Those dots are getting connected by the software. So as time mm-hmm. goes by, you will also see more and more such complex things going inside the software. Softwares, that's mm-hmm. why are becoming knowledgeable and intelligent. And you can only leverage this. You can't fight it, really. It's mm-hmm. all there for you to make your business bigger if you are an accountant. So from that perspective, the work that an accountant does day in, day out, that also shifted to something else or is shifting to something else. For example, if more and more focus was, let's say 10, 20 years ago, was get the data from somewhere, receive, process, and produce the outcome to deliver so that you charge your client, right? Now that has, mm-hmm. that has changed. Receiving and processing has been reduced by quite a bit of percentage. And now you're looking at the data that's kind of semi-processed and you kind of give the finishing touches and then you apply your mind. Even analytics is going into the software. So if you're doing the same analysis day in, day out for different types of clients, the softwares kind of learn that and give you that on a platter in terms of whatever reports you have, more intelligent reports. But the one thing that doesn't really happen, the software cannot really do, is how do you connect your clients' goals, aspirations to what's happening in the accounting profession? For that, you got to talk to that client. And human beings are complex people. So in terms of what all goes in the minds, right? So for example, if somebody wants to grow the business, if they know that this is great business, there's profitability, I want to grow in 5 different locations, or in the same locations, I want to do more marketing, I know the trend is changing, I want to invest in inventory right now because it's cheaper so that I can produce more later and make profit. There's so many things, calculations going on the heads of these business owners, and that's where you're connecting the decisions made by the business owners or not made to the numbers that came to be because of those decisions or not made or made. Now that is a very interpersonal skills kind of a conversation to have, mm-hmm. or a skill to have. And at the same time, keep that focus on the business to connect these dots between, you know, the heads of your clients and what accounting insight is showing you. That's hard to move to technology. You know, maybe 10 years, 15 years down the line, something will happen. But even now, next few years, even if AI comes in, I personally feel that's not easy to really do. And that's where your most trusted advisor thing comes into picture. You already have that leverage with your clients. And instead of having discussions around data, information, hey, you didn't send me your bank statements, you didn't send me invoices, all that operational stuff can give way to, hey, you know, let's look at this thing. You know, you made 3 consistent months of profit and the next 3 months have gone down and I see your inventory has increased. Why did you buy so much? those kinds of real business making decisions, you know, those are the ones, those are the discussions that accountants will have. So in other words, not just communication skills and interpersonal skills, but also looking at things from your customer's point of view. If you were that business person, how would you manage that business based on the financials and accounting information you see? Don't look at it only from a professional accountant's point of view. You know, wear your client's hat and now go and see, okay, this is what my accountant gave me, what will I do? Check if your clients are asking those questions. If they are, great. But if they're not, you plant those questions in their head. Say, look, Mr. Client, you know, if I got this balance sheet from my accountant or profit and loss statement, here are the 5 questions that will instantly come to my mind. You know, those are the questions you should be asking. And many times you'll see the customers like, look at you, how do you know my business? Right? Yeah, because I'm a professional. I can see the secrets in your numbers that you may not be able to see. So that's definitely there. So that also leads to your client service skills. Now, if predominantly most of your staff has been towards the back office processing, not much interactions with your clients, then you got to enhance them. Because the more the clients have to wait for a few people in your firm so that they can discuss, the more they are going to not talk to you because they're busy in their businesses. So make each of your staff that works on a client's accounts capable of having those client interactions, even if it's a 5-minute phone call or an email where you answer 2 different questions. You know, so don't let that, you know, just keep coming to the partner level, because then it's a bottleneck. So all those also change towards business models. You're making your staff more competent on a wider scale. You know?
Mm-hmm. And that makes the work more interesting too.
Absolutely.
Because when I worked as a CPA, what was most fun was talking to the clients and finding out what they wanted, what their goals were, what their hopes were, and what they were hoping to get out of the business, and then translating what we had in the financials or in the tax return to helping them to fulfill those dreams. Yeah. That was more fun.
Well, absolutely. Some staff may still have their comfort zones, for example.
Yes.
They might be extreme experts in certain aspects of certain things, and then you become absolute specialist in that. Not necessarily that every staff has to undergo everything, but you essentially leverage that foundational strength of each staff and then build on that.
Yeah, and it just makes it more interesting, you know. And I really like the idea of empowering the staff members, even down at the very bottom levels, to have those conversations.
Yeah, it changes the customer experience dramatically.
Oh, yes, because it's not just having to filter everything through the partner or the manager and waiting for them to have time to call or to respond to the email. Mm-hmm. But it's empowering the younger people to be able to have those conversations. And that that is how they learn to become leaders themselves.
Yes, you know, I remember a few years ago, I don't know who it was, but somebody did that quick survey on the profession. The clients of the accountants. Why do accountants' clients leave the accountants? And one of the top 5 reasons was, my accountant doesn't return my call. And that's because most of the times it's the top level at the firm that is talking to the client, so everything becomes a bottleneck. So that definitely needs to change, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's a very hard thing to change. You know, now that's a good transition to my next question, which is, well, what should accountants stop doing immediately?
Yeah, I think everything in terms of transition towards a different business model or adapting to current times is a process. So you don't really, you know, switch off something like a light there. So there's always going to be some transition period. But I think the biggest thing is look at your processes, look at your day-to-day tasks, and really question everything. By doing this, is the firm benefiting or is the client benefiting or both or not? Now you'll find many of the tasks just done because there is an internal consumption of certain analytics or reports or whatnot. Is it only for your kind of a satisfaction that, okay, everything is accurate, for example? Okay, it gives me peace of mind. But for that, how much time are you going to spend on, you know, really checking, double checking and things like that? So question every single step and literally ruthlessly cut down on certain steps in every process that you can. That's the first thing to do for sure. In terms of stop doing what's not adding value to your firm and your clients.
So those are very hard things for accountants to figure out because they've been used to doing things in the same ways for so long that it can be hard to let go of the way that things have been done.
That's right. So change in any field, ultimately humans find it very, very difficult. So you've got to have either an incentive for a change or a threat for a change. If I don't do this, this is going to be a big trouble for my firm. So as long as you identify the risk of status quo and the benefit or the reward of change, and you focus on that as a leadership, I think you can do that. It's not very difficult. I've seen, you know, accountants asking, hey, I don't know, but I have a gut feel that maybe, you know, we are not doing it correctly. Do you know any accountant who has done this? And can you share some insights? That keeps coming all year round whenever we speak with accountants, you know. So which also is a good sign that at least accountants are, you know, willing to consider and look and seek change. Whether they implement is a different story, but the first step is always seeking that change. So which seems to be happening far more frequently than my previous years in the profession, because I can see that distinct shift, which is really a good thing to notice, you know.
Well, that I'm glad to hear that you're seeing more change. And now accountants often know what it is they should be doing. They should be adopting more technology. They should evaluate their pricing strategies. They should evaluate their staffing strategies. But too often, they just don't. What are some of the things that keep accountants from changing?
Yeah, so that's a big, deep question. There's so many things that can stop you from doing, and some of the answers, you know, in fact, when we did the client accounting services survey, and we said, the firms that are not doing CAS, why are you not doing CAS? And the reasons that came up, you know, we don't have the staffing. Okay, so are you a solo practitioner, two people firm? What's the, so essentially, you're fully utilizing all the hours of your staff in whatever processes you have. So you might not have moved to technology, for example. Means I get all year round people moving from desktop onto cloud technologies. They purchase our solutions and suddenly they see, oh, there's so much of efficiency gains. In just initial 3 months, they can see 25% efficiency. So what do you do with that time now? Now you can't say you don't have time, right? So you've got to look at things. You have to experiment for sure. So that was the first thing. Oh, we don't have the technology. We don't have the client. We don't know how to get clients. Lots of things. And that's where I kind of recognize there are two things that really help the change. One is the danger to your current firm in terms of your profitability. See, if you have bulky and manual processes, your cost is going to be higher. So your pricing will reflect that in the market. And if the next door CPA is very tech savvy and offers lesser price and maybe better value, you're going to see the shift. The pricing pressure will tell you that you got to look at something. So instead of that pressure coming from outside, you know, take a look at it proactively. That's one, right? And two, when you talk to your clients, they talk to their friends and connections in the industry, and somebody comes to you and starts asking you a question, you'll kind of notice that they might be asking things that you're not currently doing. But it doesn't seem like, you know, you don't need too much to really learn to offer those services, which means it's right in your wheelhouse, but you're not doing it. And mm-hmm. there is demand. So cater to that demand. You know, once you see the money in the door, you got to find ways to get that money inside the door. So that might be resources, that might be technology, that might be processes. So both ways, the positive and the negative thing, meaning, you know, don't be forced to change, but at the same time, by changing, if you can grab more business, deliver more value to your clients, why not do that?
Right? Well, you make it all sound so simple, Hitendra.
But I've seen that working for, as I said, you know, we work only with accountants. So I speak with accountants day in, day out, all sorts of firms, right, from small to big to different niches to different services. And anytime I see people happy, accountants feeling happy about the progress they're making, I say, what did you do that made it possible for you? Oh, we just, you know, implemented technology. We found integrated solutions. You know, we looked at delivering more services to our clients. In fact, many times accountants have told me that their higher dollars came from existing clients by offering more services, because those clients were going to somebody else for obtaining those services. Right. Instead, we started offering those services by creating capabilities. Now the client interacts with us more. Our relationships are becoming stronger with the clients because we offer multiple services. And that's another thing that came out from the CAS survey. Non-CAS firms offer about 6 services per client. CAS firms mm-hmm. offer 12 services per client, double the number.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, the big thing right now these days is CAS services. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the next big thing? I want you to use your crystal ball.
Yeah, the first thing is get into CAS. You know, that's why I wrote the whole book, because I saw so many questions mm-hmm. coming my way. CAS is definitely going to be here for the next 3 to 5 years. It's going to be really spreading across the profession, irrespective of the firm size. At the same time, you will see a lot of venture capital money going into the technology solutions in fintech, especially Paybins and AIs and machine learnings and all that. But, you know, just sheerly from technology point of view, not as a technologist interested in those technologies, but you look at it, how those technologies are being planned for using and implementing in the profession, for what purposes, what new outcomes. So that is a big interest area for me. And that's where I see a lot of effort going towards. How do I make accountants work more easy, faster, more economical, more profitable, and more insightful? And that's where those implementations of those technologies are happening. For example, machine learning and artificial intelligence in the typical transaction processing work for accountants, you know, the transactions that are coming in through bank fees directly into your accounting software, and you're applying your accounting knowledge to it to classify those transactions to the right chart of account codes and all that. Now that's been happening for quite some time. Now the software is learning artificially what's the accountant doing with these transactions. And by the time you bring the transactions in your accounting software, it already knows that you're going to be coding it like this. Of course, it gives you an opportunity to change if you wish to, but that is changing the way accountants do their work. So if all this work used to take maybe 6 hours per client, and now it takes mm-hmm. 15 minutes, so you got to do something mm-hmm. in those other hours. Either you find more clients and fill up your pipeline and get more business, or apply your mind, get into advisory, deeper insights to your client. You become a consultant to the clients, right? So a lot of these things will apply onto the traditional work of accountants. So AI, machine learning, big time right now. The next thing, possibly the blockchain, especially in the larger ticket size where the transaction value is high. and you need absolute guaranteed accuracy of the two transacting parties not going back on their words. So it's an indelible truth, the third ledger. So that's going to happen. And that's right now happening already in the larger or enterprise grade kind of businesses. It might come down a little over the period. So that's definitely going to happen. Right now, as I see, the future is about automated data exchanges between multiple softwares in this profession. And that's going to grow much faster than ever before as more and more software has gone onto the cloud. So that's the trend for the next 3 years for sure. Integration, as we call it right now, or the app economy of some solutions, all of those are based on this core concept of integration and data exchange. So that's going to grow for sure.
Well, I'm definitely a big proponent of integrating data. You know, the firms that I worked at, some of the data didn't really work right. And even with the same software platform, we'd have to enter the same information in two or three places, which made no sense to me at all. But yeah, you know, get people away from entering numbers or transferring numbers, because the more you do that, the more opportunity there is for errors to pop up.
That's right.
So if you can get it right from the bank without touching it, then that to me is absolutely ideal.
That's already happening quite a bit. There's still a big chunk of the profession that's still not gone there. So there will be migration towards that. More and more firms will do that. And once that becomes like a new normal, then what? That's the real question, you know. The vision hat has to come in now. I said, what happens next? Let's say everybody is on the cloud, maybe 95%. Mm-hmm. A lot of data is getting exchanged automatically. After that, what? What do accountants do in that case? What do clients pay for? That's another thing, you know. Currently, your processes, deliverables are very well defined. I do this, and for that, you pay me this. Then what? After your technology does most of the things, and maybe the clients know it already, they think they can do it, then what? What are you going to charge for?
Well, then at that point, it will have to be adding value from the ideas in our brains.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
And I did
an article quite some time back. Excuse me, may I rent your brain? That's what will happen in the profession.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, because, you know, I didn't go to school and take all those accounting classes just to be a data entry clerk.
Exactly right. Unfortunately, that was the requirement based on pure desktop technologies in the past years. It was a necessity that data has to get in and somebody has to do that job. But unfortunately, that almost labeled the profession that, oh, this is what you do. You know? If you do a quick survey, you know, what's the number one thing that you remember when you see the word accountant? Many people would tell you balance sheet, tax return, financial statements. That's not the only thing that you do. There's so many things that accountants do other than those three, right?
Yeah, and I think that variety of things will really be the future.
It is.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this has been wonderful talking to you, Hitendra. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me and allowing me to rent your brain for a little bit. Now, if listeners want to connect with you, what's the best way to find you?
Yeah, the best way to find me is on LinkedIn. Just search for my name and you will see, and you can connect with me there. I publish quite a bit of things on my own through LinkedIn as well. Both my books are available on CPA Trendlines exclusively, so you can find them there. And most of the times, if you're an accountant and you send me a connection request, I accept it in a blink.
Yes, I can verify that because I think you and I have been connected for 6 or 7 years now.
That's
So
right. That's right.
that is very true. Well, thank you again, Hitendra, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz, for having me on your podcast in this episode. And it was wonderful talking to you. And you asked me a little different questions that generally I would answer. So I'm really glad that I could, share some of the insights that I've been gathering for years and years now. And hopefully your audience finds this useful.
I'm sure they will. Thank you again.
Thank you.